Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Then we're going to read the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 3 as well. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now in Acts chapter number 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. We sang about that name a little bit ago. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me tonight? Jesus, thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would come by, refresh us, refill us, and revive us. Let your word, Lord, just dwell within us tonight. God, I pray, Lord, help us to look to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 You may be seated. In his book titled Killing Jesus, the famous political talk show host Bill O'Reilly, he gave the historical account of the life of Christ. I don't know if any of you have ever read the series that Bill O'Reilly, and I forget the man who wrote it with him, but they wrote the series. It's called the Killing Series, and they go through different times when men of renown, or even that of men of ill repute, even were killed or taken out by some kind of terrorist or something like that. And he wrote a book about the crucifixion of Jesus called Killing Jesus, and he doesn't seek to engage in any type of theological debate. He's just trying to write from a historical point of view. And as far as I know, Bill O'Reilly is a Roman Catholic. He's not a Pentecostal Christian. But when he was writing about the part of Jesus' life when he is baptized by John the Baptist, Bill O'Reilly almost gives a Pentecostal perspective to what took place. You remember what happened there at that river when John was baptizing folks. Jesus comes down and John says, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." And Jesus says, "Hey, baptize me." And so he does. He baptizes him. And as Jesus comes out of the water, God the Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the Bible says that the Spirit descended like a dove and rested on Jesus. Praise the Lord. And right after that event, remember, Jesus, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. Anybody ever fasted 40 days? We need to do it, don't we? Praise the Lord. I know I do. Amen. But he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. And during that fast, Jesus is tempted and tested by Satan. But the Bible tells us the angels were ministering to him. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus, after that time in the wilderness, he began his 3.5-year earthly ministry while he went about doing good everywhere he went, preaching and teaching, delivering and healing, and all of those things. But something that Bill O'Reilly said about that moment in Jesus' life when the dove descended down from heaven. He made this statement, and I've never forgotten it since I read it years ago. He said, "The dove made all the difference." Praise the Lord. the dove made all the difference. I want to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about the dove makes the difference. Praise God. How many of you know the Holy Ghost makes the difference? That's what the dove symbolizes throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, especially. The Holy Spirit makes a difference. I know there have been many times, and there's probably some in here tonight, that you'll say you weren't raised in the Pentecostal way. You weren't raised to believe in the expressions of the Spirit, let alone the miracles and the gifts and the signs and wonders and all that stuff. But you could rise up and say, but the day I got filled, amen, the Holy Ghost made a difference, made the difference. I often talk about my mother-in-law. She had that experience. She was raised in a different denomination, not really an expressive one at all. And she's a very expressive Christian today. She almost embarrasses all the kids. She's just very expressive and exuberant in church. Why? She says, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I decided I'm not going to go back to the way I was before. I'm going to express what God did, the difference that He made. Praise God. Now, there's a question I've got to ask that probably might be on some minds tonight. Can you make it to heaven without the Holy Ghost? Can you make it there without being filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, here's the best answer I've got for you tonight. I believe without being filled with the fullness, as in Acts chapter 2, I believe you can. But why would you want to? Amen. We need to seek after being filled. He desires to fill us with the power of His Spirit. Paul even wrote to the church of Ephesus. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. God desires, and he not just desires, but He makes a way for all of His children to be full of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? Now, don't get me wrong. I know how salvation, the Holy Spirit, is at work in every life. And please don't be disheartened tonight if you haven't experienced what we've termed as being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is still at work in your life, even if you haven't spoken in tongues yet. Praise God. He's still transforming you. He's still able to guide you and to speak to you and to lead you and to make God's Word come alive to you. But let me tell you tonight, church, if you can just seek Him and get filled with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost will make a big difference in every part of your life. Hallelujah. So what difference does the Holy Ghost make? What difference does the dove make? I won't take long tonight, but let me just give you three things. The Holy Ghost, He makes a difference in our atmosphere. Praise God. That's corporately speaking. The Spirit, the dove, makes a difference in the atmosphere. When I was a young child, we would sing in children's church this song called Icebox Sunday. Anybody ever sing that? I went to church in an icebox Sunday. I went to church and it sure was cold. I went to church in an icebox Sunday and the streams of living waters almost froze. Anybody ever been to a church like that? I mean, you walked out, man, that church was dead. That place, it was dead. You could have heard a pin drop. I mean, it was dead. It was cold. I've been in some services, in some places that seemed dead. I've been there. I've walked out shaking my head, wondering what in the world were they doing. But I've been in some places that you walked in there and you thought, man, this place is on life support. There's no way that but then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost would come by. Come on now. The dove would light down upon us in that place. Amen. He would just come by and shake some things up. Amen. He would come, it would take one or two that would just get up and start worshiping and start praising. It didn't have to be right hype or anything like that. They just got up and they said, enough is enough. I need to worship my Lord. Hallelujah. And one or two got it started and it just kind of steamrolled from there. Praise the Lord. The dove makes a difference in the atmosphere. You go back to the book of Acts chapter number 2, if you can put it on the board. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And then suddenly, everybody say suddenly, There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Suddenly they were just up there worshiping, praising God. Had been there for several days. Not sure what they were doing at this moment. Maybe they were singing. Maybe they were just meditating. Maybe one person was reading from the scrolls and the scripture. I don't know what was taking place. But we know what happened. The dove came down. Come on, somebody. And changed the atmosphere. Glory to God. That sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There was one service at Camp Blessing several years ago. We were just having a good time in the presence of the Lord. People were singing. But all of a sudden, you know, youth camp's already pretty hype. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's ready to worship. Everybody's ready to shout at the drop of a hat. And they're all ready to drop their own hat. But we were just standing there worshiping. The Spirit of the Lord was there. You could tell. But then it just sounded like a rushing mighty wind started over this side. And it blew all the way over to that side. And pandemonium broke loose. What was it? The dove said, tonight I'm going to make a difference in the atmosphere. Church, we need the dove to make a difference in the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost will make all the difference. Hallelujah. We need a change of temperature in our services. Hallelujah. A prayer that we ought to pray every single day as we get ready to come into this place. Lord, help us not to have a routine service. Lord, interrupt us in this atmosphere, in this place. God, change some things up. Help us, Lord, to respond to you. We want the dove, amen, to come and control the atmosphere. I don't mind him getting us off schedule, church. That's all right. It's okay with me. I'm going to preach anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, y'all, we can shout and we can run and we can worship and I'll get up and preach or even give you a mini sermon if that's all I need to do, whatever the Spirit leads. But I want you to know, we want the dove, amen, to control the atmosphere, to speak to hearts, to use folks in the gifts. Praise the Lord. How many of you are hungry for the dove? Hallelujah. To make all the difference in this place. I've heard stories of places having a move of the Holy Ghost in the church and in the atmosphere on the inside. Listen, the atmosphere on the inside was showing up on the outside. Amen. People were walking by. That church is on fire. What's going on? It wasn't a real fire, but it was Pentecost. Amen. The dove was making a difference and it was showing to those around them. Hallelujah. Lord, let there be a difference in our atmosphere. Growing up in Pentecost, I really learned to expect the unexpected in a church service. And I remember one time one of my friends and I, we were playing on a Sunday afternoon and one of my parents was sick and they weren't going to go to church that evening. So it was a dream day for me. I could stay home on a Sunday night and play outside. But there was something down in my heart. Amen. I told my friend, I got to go to church. I don't know, I'm 9 or 10 years old. And this is what I told him. I remember saying this. I might miss something. Amen. Woo. Church, when the dove comes by, you don't know what's going to happen. Amen. You can expect the unexpected. When the Spirit comes by, it seems like this happens. We engage in a different level of worship. You know what I'm saying. On a normal routine service, you lift your hands, you sing the songs, you praise Him, you worship, you say hallelujah, you express yourself. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes by in a way that's different and the atmosphere takes a shift in a different direction, it's almost like that worship is more pure and more sincere. It gets louder. It might even get a little more radical, but often at times, this is how the Spirit moves. A lot of times, I know people tend to say, if you shout, that was a good service. Oh, we shouted, we jumped, we hollered and danced. We had a great service, and rightfully so. It's good when that happens, but oftentimes, the best services I've been in have been followed that are tears, amen. amen, of just being in His, we're just in that sweet presence, that sweet presence that you don't want to leave, that atmosphere that you don't want to walk away from. It's a heaviness that's in the place, and you, oh, we've had an encounter with the Lord. That's the difference that the dove makes. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings liberty with Him. He brings freedom. Amen. And experience tells us that those things happen when He comes by. Praise the Lord. There's an expression, a difference in the atmosphere. Any of you ever go to family reunions and hope and pray that that one person does not show up? Amen. You think, oh, if they come, and the moment they walk in the door, it's like everybody just kind of shuts down. Oh, man, there everybody gets tense. You start walking on eggshells. The conversation is a little stiffer, and everybody's just kind of worried about how they're going to react to everything. That you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking dirty about anybody. I didn't mention any names. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. But then you go to a family get-together, and you think, oh, I can't wait to see that one person. Amen. That one cousin, that one uncle or aunt, whoever it may be, that grandparent. When I see them walk in the door, it's like everything changes. The atmosphere is lighter, and people are happier, and they bring joy along with them. Praise God. And this is what we often say. It won't be the same if you're not there. Church, it will not be the same if the Holy Spirit is not here. We need the dove. Amen. We're looking for the dove to come by and help us in every service every week. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what He does. He lifts the atmosphere to another level. He brings life where there is death. Hallelujah. He disrupts confusion and chaos and brings order where that was there. He brings a sigh of relief. The Holy Ghost makes a difference in the atmosphere. And guess what? You don't have to be in church just for the dove to make a difference in the atmosphere. He can make a difference in the atmosphere in the hospital room. He can make a difference in the workplace. He can make a difference in your car as you're driving down the highway. You know what I'm talking about. When the dove comes by, He changes the atmosphere. One man said, when He comes into a church service, the dove comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. Amen. He's both informative and transformative. He can save, He can heal, He can deliver, He can convict, restore, renew, redeem, fill, and the list goes on and on. In church, He can do it all at once. Oh, praise God. We were in one of those services there at Camp Blessing where the Holy Ghost came by, and it might have been the same night I described to you just a few moments ago. But Brother Lester was preaching, and he didn't end up preaching that night. People just flooded the altars, and it wasn't just the young people were excited. They were shouting, and different things were happening, but the lost were coming and getting saved in that service. The backsliders were coming in. There was even one backslider that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost again, all in the same night. What took place? Brother Lester came up to me afterwards and he said, that's when you know the Spirit was really genuine in this place. The Holy Ghost won't move without trying to reach somebody's heart in the process. Church, that's what, listen, we want to shout. We want to be excited. We want to express ourselves. We want the Holy Ghost also to draw people in and set them free from sin. Can I hear an amen? The dove will make the difference in the atmosphere. The dove makes a difference, this is personal here, in our attitude. Amen. Ouch. Pastor, I thought you were going to preach us happy. Well, I am. Amen. Hopefully you get happy in your attitude when the dove comes by. The Holy Ghost transforms our minds. Not just our minds, He transforms our temperaments. Anybody know what temperament you are? I hear a lot of people all the time say, I can't remember all of them. I'm melancholy or choleric or whatever the other two are, sanguine, and I don't remember the other one. What is it? phlegmatic. Praise the Lord. Man, y'all are good. Praise God. And usually, you know, you're one, and you have a strong sense to the other and all of that stuff. Listen, did you know the Holy Ghost, the dove, wants to make a difference in your attitude, in the things where you're weak? He wants to make you strong. Come on, somebody. In the areas you're strong, he wants to make you stronger. He wants to make all the difference. See, when the Holy Ghost comes by, he changes our negative spirits and brings us not to just a positive reality, but to a faith reality. Come on now. Amen. See, the Spirit does that. The dove does that. Well, what are you talking about? Show us the difference. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus has already been resurrected, he's talking with the disciples. They ask him a question. It's a political question. They're asking if he's going to restore the power again to Israel. They want power, but not the kind of power Jesus promised them. They want earthly power. They want authority. They want a throne room. They want to know, hey, we're in control of our destiny, not Roman law. We want the power. But Jesus looks at them and says, it's not for you to know those things. I'm not going to give you that answer right now, but there is a power, glory to God, that I will send down to you, and you will be my witness. And the scripture goes on to say, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. But before they experienced Acts chapter 2, they were just thinking of earthly power, earthly things. But then when the Holy Ghost came by, they realized there's more, amen, than what this world offers. It changed their perspective on what real power is. In Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, we won't take the time to read it tonight, but there's a story that shows us the hearts of the disciples. See, some people had rejected Christ, and they said, well, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? That was their attitude. Let's just destroy everybody who doesn't agree with us. And Jesus talked to them and calmed them down. But what happened in the book of Acts, after they had gotten filled with the Spirit and the dove changed their attitude, when people did not agree with him, they just kept preaching the gospel in love and in grace and trying to reach people with the truth. Church, the Holy Ghost will change your attitude. They always disputed prior to their experience of Pentecost among themselves which one's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But when the Holy Ghost came by and began to transform their attitude, that all went out the window. Even when Jesus was arrested, they ran away in cowardice from the crowd. But then we see that when the dove came by and made the difference, when people questioned them, instead of running away, they stood up and preached the truth, and they prayed for boldness. Hallelujah. That even after they were persecuted, they found a reason to rejoice and a reason for joy. Why? The dove made a difference in their attitude. I love listening to Mark Rutland, Dr. Mark Rutland preach. Maybe you've listened to him before, but he was a Methodist preacher on the rise in the 70s, I believe it was, maybe even before that. He said, I was one of the youngest preachers that was in my position. They were taking me through the ranks there in Georgia, I believe is where he lived. He said, I was on the rise. My church was doing well. And he said, I was miserable. I was miserable. He talked about having issues with his tongue and speaking foul language, and he was always angry and mad at his wife and his children, and just he said, even one time he got out of the car at the store and something happened and he kicked the car and said, I hate this car. And his wife just began to cry because their home life just wasn't what people thought it was looking from the outside. But he said something happened, praise the Lord. There was a place where they were having a meeting, and there were several Methodist ministers there in Georgia that had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was a preacher that was going to be preaching to them, and they invited him to come. There's a lot more into it than just that, but just for sake of time, let me just tell you what happened. He goes to that place. He said, I didn't want to go, but something drew me there. Hallelujah. He said, I even told my wife, I'm not going. He said, I got on the lawnmower to mow the lawn. There wasn't a lawn to mow. I mean, it was already mowed. He said, there wasn't no point to mow. And He said, finally, I went back and said, okay, I guess I'll go. He said, I got there and the Spirit began to move and God began to transform. Come on now, transform that Methodist preacher's life. He said, somebody later on, somebody looked at him in that meeting. He had been down on the floor weeping and crying. And they said, do you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, my mind said no. I was going to say no, but out of my mouth came the word yes. Hallelujah. And God right then and there filled him with the power of the Spirit. And he started preaching the truth of the gospel, not just about the method and the word. What's the word I'm looking for right here? The liturgy. He started preaching the living word. Hallelujah. The dove made the difference. Changed everything about him. He said, when I got home, my wife began to cry, but this time tears of joy, because she had been praying that something like that would take place in his life. Church, the devil make the difference. He'll change our attitudes. He renews and transforms our mind. That's how he changes the way we look at things and the way we think about things. And he allows us to put on the mind of Christ. Amen. Something changes, amen, when a person gets filled with the Spirit. They suddenly stopped doing some of the things that they struggled with. They quit talking the same way. Come on now. They apologized for things. What? They said, I'm sorry? What in the world? They can admit when they're wrong. Hallelujah. They look at others with love and kindness. And they reach to set the captive free. Amen. The dove makes a difference. Lord, make a difference. I remember hearing my grandpa talk about his experience in church. He wasn't an evil man as far as I know, but he was an unsaved man. He got saved later in life, and he talked about how he was working on the car. And one day he rose up. He was underneath his truck fixing it. He sat up real quick, and he hit his head. Anybody ever done that while you're working on the car? Whew. And he said, out of my mouth came a word that I thought I'd laid to rest. And he said, I rolled over and cried like a baby. What was happening? The dove was making a difference. Amen. The dove was making a difference, letting him know, not just, hey, you shouldn't have done that, but I'm here to help you stop doing that. See, the dove makes a difference. The dove makes a difference, not just in our attitude, but finally, I want to just share this with you. I've already preached long enough, but the dove makes a difference in our aptitude. Amen. He makes a difference in what we can do. Aptitude means natural ability to do something. There are some people that are naturals at different things. You know, there's some people that they take to instruments. They have no problems learning to play. The piano, the bass, the guitar, the drums, they can play it all. There's some people, it just seems natural for them to do those kinds of things. Other people, they're natural athletes. Some people are just naturally gifted in math and science and different things like that. Some people just are natural writers and natural in artistry and different things like that. But when I'm talking about aptitude, I'm talking spiritual here. See, God has given every single one of us gifts and talents and abilities that he desires to use in his kingdom. Praise the Lord for his glory. And the dove will make a difference and anoint you when you are supposed to use those gifts for the kingdom of God. And he can not only use you in what I say are your natural gifts or tendencies, but he also can bring new things that he wants to use you in your life. Amen. The gifts of the Spirit, laying on of hands and the sick recovering and miracles and signs and wonders. See, when the Holy Ghost gets into it, he gives us supernatural abilities to do what we couldn't do otherwise. Why did I read Acts chapter 3? This is why. Those disciples had walked by that gate many times, many days, and seen that same lame man laying there asking alms. And I'm sure there might have been a time or two when they might have had a couple loose pieces of change that they just kind of took and tossed into his bucket or cup or whatever he had. But after the day of Pentecost had fully come and they got filled with the Spirit, their aptitude changed. Come on, somebody. When they walked by that man who had laid there for years asking for money, Peter and John now looked at him and thought, oh, this is an opportunity for God to do something amazing in this man's life. No longer were they trying to find and satisfy his cries with silver and gold. But this day, they looked on him with power in their hearts and in their lives. And there was something else that could take place because the dove had made the difference. They saw that man different. They recognized not just him as different, but they said, we're different. Not that it's in me, not that it's in my ability, not that it's in what I can do, but church, it is wise for us to be aware of the Spirit's work in our hearts. And it's all right for you to be aware that God can use you in the gifts of the Spirit. It's all right for you to get comfortable being used in the gifts of the Spirit. It's okay for you to be familiar with laying on hands and people being healed. Come on now. It's all right for you to be familiar with giving a word of prophecy or a message in tongues with the interpretation. It's okay for God to give you visions and dreams and for you to get to a level of comfort knowing when God begins to work on you, you're not afraid to walk in his Spirit in that moment. Hallelujah. The Spirit, the dove, makes a difference in our aptitude. How do I know? Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Now let me say this, there have been times in this house, this very place, come on, where people have come and needed a miracle and you laid your hands and prayed for them and they walked out of here different than when they came. Am I the only one who knows that? That's taken place. I remember hearing stories of even young children having medical diagnosis that there was no way they could be healed, but the young children gathered around and prayed over them and God came by and healed them. Church, I want you to know the dove is still here. Come on now. The dove is still here. He still is in your life. He's still active in this place. And the last miracle at Union Road has yet to happen. God is not done healing lives, saving souls. Amen. God is not done bringing miracles, the lame recovering, the deaf can hear, the blind I can see. I said, God is not done. The dove is going to make a difference. Hallelujah. If you believe it, shout amen. He made a difference in their aptitude. Now they're ready. Now they're ready to minister. They're ready to reach. And it's more than just the signs and wonders. But they're ready to teach. They're ready to write scripture. Come on now. God is breathing the word into their hearts. And they're writing. Amen. Peter and Paul and John, they're writing. Hallelujah. What God wants to speak. Not just in that moment, but in this moment today. Glory to God. Let's let the dove make a difference in our atmosphere, in our attitude, and in our aptitude. Hallelujah. If that's your prayer, I want you to stand all over this house. Sister Katie, come get ready to sing. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The promise and the power of the Holy Ghost have come into the lives of the disciples. They had gotten full, and now they were ready to minister. And God wants to fill you to overflowing. Amen. I said, God wants to fill you to overflowing. I said, God wants to fill you to overflowing. Glory to God. Imagine the difference we can make when the dove makes a difference in us. Praise the Lord. Mark Rutland talked one time after he got filled with the Spirit. He said, I was preaching in a lot of Methodist churches still. And he said, I was preaching, and I'd just go preach the message that God gave me in this Methodist church. He said, this guy invited him to come. I preached the message. He said, we went home to the pastor's house that afternoon. He said that afternoon between services, the pastor needed to do some yard work or something on a Sunday. Lord help him. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's my way out if it's on Sunday. Amen. But he started raking the leaves. He told his wife, I'm going to burn that leaf pile. And his wife said, it's too windy. Don't do it. He said, no, it's not too windy. I'm going to do it anyway. And Mark Rutland was there. He said he lit that tree, that pile of leaves, and the wind picked up some of that flame, and it got into the tree where the leaves had fallen and set the tree on fire. And he said they had to call the fire department. They came and put the fire out, and, you know. He said it was amazing. It was great. He said, we went to church that evening. He said, as we were in church that evening, somebody came into the church and said, hey, the pastor's tree is on fire again. So they went out. They thought the fire had gotten out. They had to call the fire department again. They came and they doused it with water again. They cut off limbs. They did whatever they got to do to get the fire out. And Mark Rutland said, I went over to the chief of the fire department and said, hey, what happened? I thought you had the fire put out. And that chief looked at Dr. Rutland and said, you know, this is what happened. That fire, this is good. That fire had gotten down into the heart of that tree, to a place where we couldn't put it out. And the conditions got just right for that fire to burst into flames again. Church, Pentecost gets way down deep in your heart. Amen. And right now I believe the conditions are getting right for that flame to burst again. For that flame to start up again. Hallelujah. When Noah sent out the dove, the Bible says that that dove flew around looking for a place where it could place its feet and light down and stay and remain. In church, just like in the book of Genesis, when that dove was looking for a place to abide, the Holy Spirit is looking in your life and in my life for a place where he can abide and he can dwell. Church, tonight as we get ready to come and pray, this is what I want you to pray. Let the dove rest in me. Amen. Let the dove rest on me. Let the Holy Spirit fill me. Let the Holy Ghost come and engulf me. Hallelujah. Let the flames of Pentecost rest inside of my heart. Is that your prayer tonight? Young people, do you want to see that happen in your life? Elder saints, amen. Do you want to see that happen? If that's your prayer, I want us to come and find a place to pray. Maybe it'd be good to stand and just lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost, rest on us, fire and wind, breathe on us again. Holy Ghost, come by and make the difference you want to make. Oh, Lord, I want to be empowered to do a greater work. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Oh, Jesus, maybe it's been a while since you've been refilled. Tonight's a good night. Maybe you've never been filled. Tonight's a good night. And maybe there's somebody in the house today. You've been wandering away from the Lord. And this message reminds you of an experience you used to have. Let me tell you tonight, you can get right with the Lord. And he can make all the difference in your life. Hallelujah. And transform things again in you. Hallelujah. Oh, just pray that prayer, church. Make this a place where the Spirit will abide. God, make this a house where the Spirit will abide. Holy Ghost, Holy Dove, make the difference.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. So fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest. on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the